national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Well, might have a few things to talk about today. Welcome to the show. Gus Kattengill with you. Rafael Esparza, Mr. Vegas, literally has gone to Vegas for the next 2 weeks. He's leaving me. Leaving all of us.
I'm out.
We'll still see you, though. Got plenty to get into. Let's just start it with the number. 800-998-1003. 800-998-1003. At ESPN Radio NOLA, I think you can probably guess what the question of the day is today. Of course, it deals with Ed Ogeron out as head coach of the LSU Fighting Tigers at the end of the season. News started coming out yesterday. If you've been listening to Matt Muscoden after further review that follows us here at 3 p.m., he's been kind of hinting at something around this nature. He's been on YouTube the last couple of hours, last night, this morning, going over things that he knew. You're seeing a lot of reports coming out. Brody Miller from The Athletic is going to join us next segment. He and Ross Dellinger have written stories from SI on how we got to this point and why you got to this point. Reaction is kind of split down the middle, I think, Rafael. When you look at it from, when I say split down the middle, meaning this, I think there is a section of the fan base that's like, yep, we understand, we see it's about time or do it. And then there's an emotional side of things. I see a lot of people that don't support or don't understand this decision. And one of the first things that I'll see in that is, but we like him, but he loves the school, but it's almost non-football related. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I feel a lot of that with, but he's Louisiana and this guy cares. He just won the national championship. You know, he's missing players. He doesn't have the assistants. Everybody left, all that. But there's football elements to that that I think people need to understand. But I do get it. Rafael, he's a likable guy to an extent. And I think if you talk to the people that have covered him personally in the last year, a change has taken place with the person. And I found it very interesting within minutes of the first tweet or story from Ross Dellinger of there's a amicable separation, there's a divorce, whatever, they've agreed on terms to part ways. It's story after story now of things that he's done, things that supposedly, whether it's hearsay, whether it's not, you know, unconditioned of anonymity and all that. But Rafael, I don't need any of those stories because I think if you've watched games, if you listen to the coverage, there was an air and an aura of there's just something going on over there that seems dysfunctional, one way, shape, or form. I think it's the right way to sort of put it.
Yeah, it's not on the field. It's actually probably behind closed doors.
Right.
Everyone thinks, oh, he got fired because they're not national championship contenders. I'm like, no, I think he was on a hot seat. I've been telling you this before the season even kicked off. I thought he was going to be on a hot seat. So it didn't shock me, but the timing shocked me. It was just, why now? I just don't understand. I would wait till after a bad loss, then do it.
So the timeline, we're going to talk to Brody Miller about this here as well, of it happening, and we're going to play the sound from the presser that it was an impromptu presser yesterday evening. Scott Woodward, and I've never seen anything like a in-season firing, essentially, with the person that is in charge, the athletic director and the head coach. And it was a very weird handshake at the end of
it. And I was like, thank you. I still got $16 million coming into my pocket.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of people were like, well, is it because you saw, again, earlier tweets of it's a settlement. And I'm like, wow, they're really going to pay all 17. No, he's getting all 16 and a half at the end of the year.
16.75.
Right. So he's getting the full amount. And that's something we're going to talk about. Look, we're going to over candidates. We're going to do all these different aspects of it here as well. I want your thoughts and opinions too, LSU fans, to what you like and what you want and what's important as well. We just did this baseball. My feelings at the time with baseball was go find a baseball coach. Stop worrying about is there ties to the program. Have they won? Of course you want somebody that's won. That's
Lane
an understanding.
Kiffin.
Of course you want somebody that's recruited. I get that as well. find a football coach. Find somebody that develops talent, somebody that can understand the game and is a good manager. That's what you need at this spot, right? I mean, when you look at the successful coaches, NFL, college, you have to be able to multitask, manage things. Everyone's going to have injuries. Everyone's going to have people transfer. Everyone's going to have different aspects like that. How do you handle that? Staff leaving or hiring.
Those transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, those are things that you really got to be able to hand out. Again, watching Matt last night, and as he likes to say, I'm not guessing at these names. You're going to hear this from him later on at 3. You're going to hear it from Glenn Gilbo, who's going to join us likely. Even Brody Miller. These are the I guess if I had to take the 5 most popular names you're going to hear for people that cover LSU, that people that, whatever, with the Tigers. James Franklin from Penn State.
Well, but I'm going to cut you off really quick because I knew I was going to be here, and they're not even out yet, but I already put odds on who's at next LSU because I wanted to be here live to tell you who my
Well, I'm looking
odds
forward
were,
to that because I've seen a bunch of other sports books having him all that as well too, Raphael, and I want to see how you sort of compare it as well. Luke Fickell from Cincinnati is another name you're going to hear. Lane Kiffin, as you're already saying,
Lane Kiffin,
who, by the way, showed a little athleticism dodging golf balls.
And mustard. Don't forget the mustard.
That scene, there's so much to talk about this weekend. An actual game we saw. Who saw Chargers-Ravens coming the way that I would have never thought Patriots-Cowboys would have been that way. Anyway, we'll get into all of that. So Franklin Fickell Kiffin, Bill O'Brien is a name that is being thrown out a ton over there. He's part of the Nick Saban current coach rehabilitation program, the offensive coordinator for the Tide. And Mel Tucker, head coach for Michigan State. Those are the top 5 that Matt's been saying. He's like, those are names you're just being told and hear a lot by people in his circle. I kind of want to quickly touch on those because this morning I saw Matt do his morning scone. And he brought up 2 things of note and interest. I brought up 1 thing, Raphael, to you when it comes to Luke Fickell. The Bearcats are stomping people. They look very sexy. They're about to go into the Big 12. Everyone keeps saying he's a Midwest guy. Maybe Ohio State, like Ryan Day doesn't keep doing his thing. Maybe he's waiting for that job or something like that, where he kind of likes what he's created over there. He also has a $20 million buyout. You just agreed to pay $17. And you can't forget the disaster Pelini and all the, there's $11 million still tied in assistance that LSU was paying.
Yes.
That they let go. So 4 with 1, 7 with another, 17 now with Ogeron. Right? So if I do the math, it's what, 16 and 11?
You got the college degree.
Yeah. Though. My point is, it's a lot. you're gonna cut another check for 20 before you hire somebody else and his staff? That's a lot. So just keep that in mind with that. But the one tidbit I want to add on to, Raphael, and then we'll start playing these sound bites, is apparently per Matt this morning, he heard that they did reach out to Franklin's representatives and it didn't go well. I don't know what that means, but he said it, you know, maybe it was not very receptive. Hey, don't bother me right now. Wrong timing. Hey, whatever. He says doesn't mean it's done, as in he's not going to talk to LSU anymore. But they did reach out to his reps, and it wasn't, hey, let's go have some coffee or something. Again, a lot of people have tied him to the USC job. They're trying to play in the midseason, back to your timing thing. It's very odd to start reaching out to reps. Do coaches want to entertain this right now? They probably don't want all this stuff on them. They got a season to still play. So it's interesting. But those are the 5 names. So there are other names that you're hearing as well. You know how I feel. I think Billy Napier should absolutely get a phone call for UL.
Yes.
Checks a lot of boxes. He makes $2 million a year. You don't have to pay $9 million. I think you have background from Clemson. He was a quarterback's coach at Alabama. The guy runs stuff.
That's my favorite.
I mean, look, his thing at UL right now is culture. Right?
And he can say, you could probably put him as the best college football coach in the state of Louisiana. Right
and
now.
Again, but that's one of the things that LSU needs to rehab here, because it's something you and I talked about before the show just started. All these names you're going to hear, they have to think of one very important thing before they depart where they currently are. There is a mess behind the closed doors, in legal rooms, and things that are still going on at LSU with the Title IX, sexual harassment lawsuits, all these different things. Raphael, could the NCAA come down on this team?
Yes.
Could some of these lawsuits affect monetarily the school?
Yes.
You better clear that up. And I think, like you said, it's probably one of the reasons, no matter what was going to happen this year, Ed Orgeron was going to go.
Yeah, I believe unless they won a national championship, he would have probably saved his job. But I think anything else, he would have been gone.
So 800-998-1003. Again, we have Brody Miller coming up next segment. He wrote one of the two pieces that detailed a lot of stories that are coming out there from.
I'm going to put him on a list for coaching.
You know, Brody Miller. So, again, I definitely want to play what happened last night. And it was, you know, awkward, to say the least. But here's Scott Woodward, athletic director at LSU, opening statement.
Before we talk business, I want to take a moment and make some personal remarks because this is real personal to me. This is a bittersweet day. And the reason I say bittersweet is that the sweet part is I came here and yesterday we had a hell of a game. And the thing about it is Coach Orgeron has beat the Gators three times in a row. And that's all 3 years I've been here, Ed, and that's something I'm proud of. But I want you guys to know Ed Orgeron's a friend. We're both Louisiana guys through and through. We both deeply care about this football program, and I will always be grateful for Coach Orgeron for leading the Tigers to the greatest season in the history of college football. With that said, the job requires us to set personal feelings aside and make decisions that are ultimately best for LSU. Since my first day back at LSU in 2019, Coach O and I have maintained an open and consistent dialogue about the state of LSU football. At LSU, we expect to compete for SEC and national championships year in and year out. We are proud of that standard, and we will always work to uphold it. Our last two seasons have simply not met that standard. When we evaluated our on-field results and the future of our program with President Tate, we determined that it is time for us to move in a new direction. That was LSU's decision, but it is one Coach O understands. It's clear in our conversations he wants what's best for LSU above all else. We've asked him, and he has agreed, to remain as head coach through the end of the 2021 season. We believe that gives our student-athletes the best chance for success this season. We believe it will help us in our recruiting efforts as well, and I know Coach O will continue to give everything he has because that's who he is and that's what he's always done for our state and for our university. His passion and pride for our football team and for our state are unrivaled and undeniable. The search for LSU's next championship football coach begins today, and while there will be plenty of time to discuss that in the days and weeks ahead, I believe today is about Coach O and what he has meant to this program. So in that vein, in that spirit, I will now give him the opportunity to say a few.
All right, so now here's Coach O's opening statement.
First of all, I want to say that Scott's been up and up with me ever since he got here. We're both from Louisiana. I knew the expectation of LSU. When I took the job, I told you that. I understand the expectation. I invite him. And, man, 2019, what a magical run. But you know why? Because of the players. We had great players, and we had great coaches here. And the players make this program, and you're able to recruit great players here at LSU. But I knew we had to sustain that momentum, and we had to sustain that standard. And I know that the last 2 years hasn't been the standard of LSU. So when he came and talked to me after the Kentucky game, I knew that it was time. And I understand that. I understand the expectations of LSU. And I invited myself, and we did not meet him the last 2 years. I'm honored that I got to be the head coach at LSU. This administration has treated me with class, with dignity the whole time that I've been here. They've given me everything that we needed to have success. I met with the players today. It's the first time that I get to talk to the players before I wanted to talk to you. But I am happy that I can be the coach of the LSU Tigers towards the end of the season. And I promise you this, we're not going to blink. I'm glad we beat Florida. Tomorrow's going to be Tell the Truth Monday, And we're going to be on to Ole Miss. And I'm going to take it one day at a time. But I'm always going to appreciate my time here. I have no regrets. Not one day. I was not going to have a bad day. I'm not going to blink. I'll tell you guys that. You know, the circumstances that we haven't won enough games in the last 2 years, I totally get it.
So those are the opening statements. We'll play more about specifics and when did they think it went wrong and things of that nature. But, Rafael, again, it's one of the things you cannot discount here. There's a lot of things legally that this school still has to deal with, and that is going to be something to keep an eye on, especially when they start looking at this next coaching search.
Yeah, I like he says the head coaching job search starts now. No, it doesn't, because everyone that's on that list that we're going to discuss is still playing. They're not going to pick up phone calls. They're not going to want to distract their team that they're coaching now or whatever. It doesn't start now. The names and the rumors start now, but I actually think that discussion of who they're going to try to get will probably start during the holidays.
All right, quick break. When we come back, Brody Miller of The Athletic covers the LSU Tigers. What he penned yesterday, and I guess we'll go over the timeline, where do they go from here, and really, what kind of job is it? Mike Greenberg this morning for ESPN, Rafael, said it's the best job in college football. Is it? Let's find out about it. Let's talk about it. Tiger fans, I want your reaction. He's here through the rest of the season, but Ed Ogeron no longer will be your head football coach next year. So sports hangover, and you're home for Pelicans basketball. Oh, yeah, by the way, the NBA regular season starts this week.
They do?
Yes, on Tuesday night. Pels start on Wednesday night. They host Philadelphia, and Ben Simmons practiced with the team this past weekend. So we'll get into all of that and more ahead on ESPN New Orleans. I wonder what you're doing tonight. I'll burn the house down and I'll leave it behind. I didn't need the money, but the money was nice. I need a countdown when the fire is high. Sitting on the curb. Get ready, Greater New Orleans area. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show, is coming for 2 big days only this weekend at the Ilario Center in West Wego. Show hours are Saturday 9 until 5, Sunday 10 till 5. Hundreds of dealer tables available, full of guns, knives, ammunition, holsters, gun, books, camouflage, jewelry and related items. Hunters and collectors, this big show's for you. Buy, sell, trade, or just spend the day browsing. Ladies are especially welcome. Admission is just $10 for adults and $2 for children ages 6 to 11. Sorry, no one under the age of 18 admitted without a parent. Got any guns to sell? Be sure they're unloaded and bring them to the show. Thousands of buyers will be there. Instant background checks available for gun purchases. The big one, the Great Southern Gun and Knife Show. Show hours 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 till 5 on Sunday. Come to the Ilario Center in West Wego to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. While you're there, be sure to register for the $50 restaurant gift card. See you there at the big one. Sure as shooting, don't miss it.
Calvin Braxton Ford is your brand new car dealer in Lockport, Louisiana. They cannot wait for you to stop in and take a look at their big town inventory and small town prices. Schedule your test drive today and let one of their trained sales staff help you every step of the way. Their skilled management team ensures that you'll have a phenomenal experience, whether it be sales, service, parts, or financing. Ford, the number one brand in America. Stop by today at Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back. And we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
It's going to change. I mean, we're going to focus on beating Ole Miss. We're going to take the same attitude that we had going into the Florida week. The players, you know, I just told them how it was. Nobody said nothing. Nobody talked. It was about 5 minutes. I told them exactly what I told y'all. I understood the expectations of LSU, and I knew after the Kentucky game that we were heading down a road that wasn't positive for LSU, and that there was going to be a change made, and I just felt that.
Time now to bring in Mr. Brody Miller at Brody A. Miller. Is the way to give him a follow over on Twitter. Covers the LSU Tigers for The Athletic. Brody, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing all right, guys. How are you?
So it happened. I don't know if a lot of people were totally surprised by that eventually this would take place, perhaps the timing, and perhaps really how quickly it happened just 2 years removed from a national championship. So, Brody, how did we get to this point? I thought you detailed it really well. I guess we can kind of go over that timeline.
Yeah, I think, quite frankly, it's a situation where I think I put this in the story. I think it's kind of a perfect storm of a guy who kind of got to the absolute height of his profession and, you know, prestige and all that, right, at a kind of volatile time, you know, where pandemic hitting, he gets divorced, and then all of a sudden he has all this pressure, you know, he has all the capital in the world, and he, you know, uses it on some bad hires, and then suddenly things just slowly unraveled from there. You know, you had bad hires leading to bad scheme, leading to bad performances. You had a, you know, some missteps, you know, publicly that led to him losing the locker room for at least stretches of 2020. You had, you know, just, you know, and then you'll talk to some people who say player development took a hit, you know, and things like that. Things that, quite frankly, he got a lot of credit for before. And that's why I always say, like, I'm not in the camp of people who try to argue this is proof that he didn't earn 2019, that this was, that was kind of a fluke. No, I think he actually did earn 2019. I think he made a lot of the moves that made that happen. He fixed a lot of the problems from the Les Miles era. He brought in some essential people, Joe Burrow, Joe Brady, so on, that got him there. And I think what you saw in the last 2 years is a slow but steady kind of whittling away of the exact things that brought them all that success. And I think that's how they got here. You know, I don't think it's some massive smoking gun error. I think it's just slowly but surely kind of lowering that standard a little bit. And that's how they got to here, where they're, you know, 9-8 the last year and a half, and there's just not much evidence things are going to turn around.
Brody, I think there's definitely two major elements to this, isn't there? There's definitely on the field, and then there's off the field. And we can tackle both of those. On the field, your eyes just, you see a team that's, I've referenced, I said, poorly coached, one way, shape, or form. You've referenced some of the hires, perhaps. Especially when you kind of take a look at quick turnarounds or the way some of the other teams in the SEC, like Arkansas and stuff, are playing. And it's just, it's kind of shocking to that extent, not having plays or any stuff. So there is an element onto the field for that, right? Because I know nationally people just go, okay, fine, you're 9-8, but you're 2 years removed. And there's an emotional element that I see from LSU fans this morning of not understanding this move, saying, well, the coach has left and the players left. You got to give him time. What do you say to that, Brody?
Yeah, I think those are fair arguments. I mean, I'll be the first to also acknowledge, yeah, a lot that he didn't have control over went wrong these 2 years, like the pandemic. And, yeah, replacing like 20 players on the starting roster in a pandemic. And, you know, I mean, a lot of the injuries are not on him. You know, I think there's a lot that isn't his fault. But at the same time, I think what has to be looked at is the entire thing of Ed Orgeron was that he was going to be a really good CEO who had the best coordinators every year, and you could hire, you know, Lane Kiffin type coordinators, and that was kind of the pitch. And I just think when 2 years in a row those hires were, you know, I mean, quite frankly, kind of disastrous at times, I think then you lose confidence in, like, having a CEO guy who has proven two cycles in a row that he doesn't have, give you that faith. And then you also add in, like, there was the Matt Canada one before that, you know, so it's not like this is the first two times. And I think there's that. And like you said, yeah, there's just like, and I say that to say that all leads to on the field problems. And then you add in, yeah, the plays aren't ready before the snap. And the offensive line is just on, quite frankly, 4 out of 5 years being a problem, you know, and schematically just kind of seeming behind the other powers. And it's the kind of thing where, yeah, you could talk yourself into things looking like they're going to improve, but there is just still noticeably a gap where you're, like, trying to ease into things with a young coordinator and all that when you're supposed to be LSU. So I just think it's a situation where, like, it wasn't just the wins and losses. It was the way it was happening. It was the way players weren't developing the same way they were and all that. And I think that's a big part of it.
I can lump this to off the field, but it definitely is on the field to an extent because, Brody, it's in the locker room. A lot that was detailed yesterday, reports and things of that nature off the field, but really I want to stick with the players here quickly, and that is that there seems to be pretty much everyone saying that this locker room was lost, and a lot of it had to do with the march and everything that happened last summer and players feeling disconnected by Ed Orgeron's Donald Trump comments.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely kind of, I wouldn't say ground zero, but a pretty big impetus of just kind of things kind of shifting a little bit the last 2 years, no doubt about it. And yeah, it was his Donald Trump comments, and then that upsets the locker room, and you know that gets things going, and then he mishandles the march, and then he mishandles the meeting after the march, and yeah, I just think there was an element of, you know, a lot of players in that locker room were, you know, pretty frustrated with that Ogeron, didn't really want to play for him, and that's happening during a pandemic where players and coaches aren't really allowed to have like interpersonal time together. You can't really like talk in a real way or connect in a real way. So everything's kind of being compounded on itself, even like things that could have been smaller are now bigger because there's a distance there. And I really think that's a big part of it, but absolutely that is ground zero. And then you go on to LSU, you know, has made a large push in the past year and a half at having more representative hiring over the, you know, in the university. And that is a big part of LSU's staff this year, being much more diverse and much younger and things like that. And then I think that you could make an argument that now all of a sudden you have a staff that's really young and exciting but isn't quite ready. And I think that's just I'm not saying it's connected to that directly, but it kind of creates a cycle there.
Speaking with Brody Miller, covers the LSU. Brody, discussing a little bit before we brought you on in the opening segment, that you cannot overlook and think the legal issues that LSU is embroiled in right now, whether it's Title IX, sexual misconduct, all those different things going on there, and how sometimes it ties into Coach O, but also, Brody, not just with him and some of the things that are now being reported that maybe he did, but for a future head coach. I got to think about that too, right? I mean, like, what situation is LSU in with these legal issues?
Yeah, of course, yeah. And I won't pretend to have a great answer for you there about where things are with those investigations, but yeah, as you know, I mean, they're two federal investigations looking into LSU. There's lawsuits from former employees, you know, about, you know, mistreatment and things like that. I mean, there are some big problems down the pipe for them, and I don't know what the results are going to be, and I won't lie to you and pretend, but I'm going to go ahead and assume it's not going to be nothing, you know. So that is something. I don't know if that's something that's going to dissuade someone from the job, because quite frankly, I think most coaches in America think of things through the prism of where can I win a national championship, and right. I think LSU was very clearly on that list, and I think at the end of the day, it's going to figure itself out. So I don't know if it's going to halt them from landing a big fish or anything like that. I don't, but I mean, certainly that is a thing that hovers over the program, and maybe, you know, doesn't get enough attention. So it's worth bringing up.
All right. So now we move on to he's going to coach the rest of the season. Meanwhile, everyone's going to now start to kind of speculate on some of the bigger names and everything. I really like Billy Napier from UL. Brody, I think he checks a lot of the different boxes. You've had a handful of SEC schools try to pry him over from Cajun country there. I know the different names that are being thrown out there. Franklin, Fickell, Kiffin, Bill O'Brien, Mel Tucker as well, Michigan State. I think the thing with Luke Fickell is, Brody, he has a $20 million buyout. You still have, what, $11 million from some assistants you parted ways, $17 from O. So let me ask you this. Do you think the money still to be paid to O and former assistants have any determination on coaches that have big buyouts?
Very good question. I would say it is not. I do not think money is going to be a massive, thing holding LSU back from most hires. Looking at, I've heard some pretty large numbers. Really large numbers that they're willing to offer for some of their biggest fish they're chasing. Now, yeah, $20 million buyout, that might be a different thing. Absolutely. I'm not sure they'd go do that on top of salary. I don't know the answer to that. But, of course, yeah, what they're paying is a factor. It should be a factor, and there's no doubt about it. But I will just say I've heard that they absolutely have some big numbers ready to offer some big coaches. So I don't know if it's enough. I think Scott Woodward is a very good fundraiser and a very good, you know, politician. I think he has a before he made this move, had a lot of funds ready.
Going to the future here for us, what do you think is going to be the opening line or statements from Scott Woodward when he introduces the new head coach? In other words, Brody, what is he going to say was the most important thing that he wanted in this next head football coach? You know what I'm talking about on Presser Day? We sat out this week, wanted somebody with blank, 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 blank. Is it character? Is it winning? Is it history? What do you think he's going to start out with? What is his most important?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think, quite frankly, it's going to be winning and just a build. Like, he loves big fish who have proven they are big winners. You know, I mean, I don't need to tell our listeners here, but they know. I mean, Sarkisian was a coordinator, but that was a big fish for Washington. Then he brought Chris Peterson from Boise State. That is a guy with a long track record of winning. Then he brought in Jimbo at a national title, got him to A&M. Buzz Williams built something up at Virginia Tech, got him to A&M. You know, he gets big fish who have proven, and then obviously Kim Mulkey, of course, and Jay Johnson, too. He has a history of winning in Arizona. He likes big fish who have proven it. He's not really have a big history of going for coordinator types, you know. So I really do think he is going to look for somebody who has that track record of proving that it's not just like, hey, I'm a good coach who might grow into this. It's you can take LSU to the next level. You are a proven guy who is ready to take LSU to new heights. I think that is a big thing he's looking for. But, yeah, it's worth mentioning other stuff. You know, I do think I don't think it's a thing that's going to hold them back from another great candidate. God, no. But I do think there's a desire to get somebody who can develop quarterbacks, somebody who has a history, you know, being an offensive guy. I'm not saying they're looking purely offensive, God no, but I think that's something, you know, with Arch Manning, you know, in the pipeline is someone right. they're chasing and just that's where college football's going, you know, being able to sign and develop quarterbacks. So I do think that's something, but overall, I think the big thing is, yeah, he wants a proven winner.
I think something will be interesting as well, Brody, is to keep an eye on a coach that maybe has either a history or can develop what I think you're seeing is be the model perhaps to get Bama or see how strong Georgia is. I look at that defensive line. It's a joke, right? I mean, their offensive line, they don't have to pass the football. And that's something that Ed Orgeron promised he was going to try to do to beat Alabama. You better be good up front. So in this day and age, Brody, where you see so many people, hey, let's go get this young guy that can draw up great plays on dry eraser boards. He plays Madden. I mean, it almost seems like that. I still think at the end of the day, you want to win a title, you better have two lines. You better have one side of the football be known for a line. And that's something I'm going to be paying attention to with some of these hires. Yes, you can drop these plays, five wideouts and all that, but that's my thing with Kiffin. He gives up 50 points. He scores 50 when they give up 50
points.
That's
fun to watch.
I understand that, but I mean, at the same time, that's key. Like, you look at Georgia, my goodness gracious, that line is impressive, you know?
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, and I think overall, and I find myself getting in arguments a lot this past few weeks of people who want a certain kind of coach. And my response is most of the coaches that are being looked at, they are people who are good overall head coaches. They aren't like typecast coordinator guru types necessarily. I mean, they might have that in their background, but then, yeah, Lane Kiffin might fall in that category. But most of their names that are really high on this list, the guys who are proven program builders. So it's like I hear a lot of people being like, yeah, you don't want another CEO type guy. And, hey, I don't care who they hire. But at the same time, I think people are overreacting to the Orgeron era of being a CEO type guy. But it's like most other CEO type guys, you know, even a Luke Fickell, for example, or a Cristobal or a Franklin is the best example, maybe.
Right.
They still have one side of the ball they're a scheme guy on, or they still have a very long history of bringing in great coordinators or bringing in the lines, like you're saying. James Franklin builds great lines, for example, or Mario Cristobal, of course he does. You know, I think those are examples of that. So I find, and this is not you at all, but I find just a lot of people like cherry-picking things that are huge focuses, and it's like most of these guys are the top guys because they know how to do it all. You're not hiring somebody with, like, a glaring weakness, I don't think.
Yeah, perfect. And that's exactly, you clarified kind of what I was trying to get at too. It's like, you need to get somebody that has some sort of experience or set in something, right? I mean, that's the thing.
Exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, look, Nick Saban is the mother and the father of all CEOs. That guy runs everything, but he's a defensive guy, something of that nature. To your point, you got to have somebody.
Urban Meyer did not call plays at any point. Yeah.
Exactly, right? So, you know, it'll be interesting for sure, man. Brody, thank you so much, man. Excellent work. And it's kind of one of those things where, it stinks that it happens for a fan base like that, but let's see where the school moves on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Yep, for sure. Brody Miller, at Brody A. Miller, is the way to follow over on Twitter. Covers the LSU Tigers for The Athletic. Quick break. When we come back, Raphael, we can comment a little bit on that. Plus, the phone lines are open, 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime in, Tiger fans, I want to hear from you. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card,
you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun Banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Coco's Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or a carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
You have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bedbugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Hey, don't forget, folks, DraftKings. Not only have I been telling you about when it comes, Raphael, to football, but hey, what about basketball, the killer crossovers, the throwdowns, the dunks, all of that. Because basketball is back. It starts this week, the NBA, including your New Orleans Pelicans. So why not enjoy and celebrate the return to the hardwood by, you know, getting a free shot at millions of dollars. So you can play your daily fantasy hoops. It's easy, just like football. Pick your lineup of pro basketball players, stay under the salary cap, and the way you get the points, three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more, right? So you can score big, and you can score big cash. And don't forget, it's safe, secure, reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So go download the DraftKings app now and enter the code LaRose, the DraftKings app, and the code LaRose, and off you go for a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. You can enjoy the NBA season the way you've been enjoying college football and pro football so far as well with the DraftKings app. Rafael Esparza in studio, Gus Kattengill as well with you. 800-998-1003. When you heard Brody kind of just going over all the different aspects of it too, do you find it interesting? He said, look, the cash has already been secured for the jobs and the coaching. And again, you probably don't approach Ed Orgeron and make this move if you're not ready and have all your ducks in a row.
Yeah, you don't have 40 to 50 million stashed away to start looking at your head coaching list without making that move, especially now. I mean, they made it now thinking, okay, put this underneath your bed and we'll sleep on it until we can get that new head coach.
That's a lot, isn't it? I mean, like when you think about it too, I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. Ed Orgeron had rose in the ranks to become the second highest paid coach.
Still blows my mind.
Yeah, $9 million. Right behind Nick Saban. And the other thing, too, is, again, as I mentioned, I mean, Luke Fickell's a $20 million buy in that article. You can go see it. USA Today, just Google USA Today 2020 head coaching salaries, and you will see all the way in the right column if there's a buyout. Lane Kiffin doesn't have a buyout, which is something Lane that's Kiffin. Interesting. I like Billy Napier. Some of the other guys, again, in the second tier, I guess if you call it that, and that's not being disrespectful to him. You mentioned a couple of guys here as well from other schools that are starting to show and prove that they can build some winning programs.
Yeah, it's Chadwell from Coastal Carolina, which I don't think he'll come to an SEC school yet. That's a big yet. I think he needs to go to another college, maybe a booster. But what he's done in Coastal Carolina, not just this year, but last year too, to get BYU to come over there and play in their backyard was pretty impressive. But I like Bill Clark from UAB and Jeff Traylor from UTSA, who's got SEC ties. He was an assistant head coach at Arkansas. Assistant head coach at Texas as well, so he's got pretty some mm-hmm. good ties. And UTSA, they're up and coming. The Roadrunners have been talked about not just this year but last year as well. Put up a bunch of points on the board, so he can bring in a little bit more maybe offense to an LSU school. So those are my three, I think, sleepers. In there, I mean, they probably won't cost that much. Right. I still think you bring someone low-key to clean up. Because we like we were talking before we were on air, there's probably a lot of closed-door meetings that stuff could come out in the next couple of years. So why would you want to pay someone that's going to cost you a buttload if you might have some sanctions behind you or scholarships removed or whatever? I would say get someone low-key now maybe to mop up the mess and then bring a big fish.
So what are some of the odds you have? Rod Walker from The Advocate and The Picayune put out, I guess, one of the other sports books there as well. And I was surprised to see Lane Kiffin had the best odds at plus 250, Fickell plus 550, Napier plus 700. He had him the third best odds. What
see,
do
he's
have?
My favorite. I know why.
Yeah, that's your favorite.
I know why the odds maker or other books did that, because Lane Kiffin money is going to come in because they're going to see he doesn't have a buyout. I just don't see him coming to LSU. I just don't think he'll fit at LSU. But I think Napier, again, I made him the favorite because I think they need a safe choice to mop up the mess. So I don't think a big name. I don't think Franco's going anywhere. Matt Campbell's probably not going to go anywhere. So those names that you're going to see on there, I think Mel Tucker could be a very interesting choice. And then the other names I already mentioned. But I would have to say, hey, bring Billy Napier here. I don't want to say it's a safe play, but again, we don't know what's behind closed doors. We don't know what kind of skeletons are behind those closed doors, but there are skeletons.
I'll say this about Napier, and again, I've said this last 2 weeks, that I've been kind of, again, as I've been getting sort of, you know, feelings that this was coming soon. He just checks a lot of the boxes from this aspect of it. And again, I'm just closing my eyes. If I'm drawing a checklist of what I want, I need a coached football team. Because you're going against a guy who dots every I, crosses every T. I know they lost A&M. I get it. Congratulations. At some point in time, they're going to lose a game, and A&M had to play out of its mind. But that's what you're going against. And when you look at where the SEC is, the way for the East to build and defend, we've seen Florida go get Mullen, bring me the offense. We've seen the rest of the East try to use it. Who are the two teams right now in the East that are playing really good football? Kentucky and Georgia. What are they based off of? Defense and got good lines. They can run the football. That's what you're going to have to do. Like, Georgia's defensive line's ridiculous. You're looking at the four guys that are 300-plus pounds. I brought up the weights and the sizes, Raphael, of the Saints' starting defensive line. They're bigger than Cam Jordan, Peyton Turner, Marcus Davenport. Those guys at Georgia are bigger than those guys in the NFL. So I that's why I'm just saying, like, I think you have to be smart on that. And I'm not saying Napier or these other guys can sort of do that. But what I'm saying is I watched that game against App State, and I've watched the games this season a little more closer. A, we have them on every Tuesday. But also, I'm just seeing they look well coached.
Yeah.
They know where they're going, and he's hired a new offensive line coach. And it just everyone knows where they're going and what they have to do. So somebody that's sort of like that already, I think makes sense when now all of a sudden you start giving them different athletes.
I think when you look at the SEC in the last couple of years, it was always, oh, Alabama, can you beat? Now you have to throw Georgia in that list.
Absolutely.
You can't just say, oh, how are you going to beat Nick Saban in Alabama? No, how are you going to beat Nick Saban in Alabama and how are you going to beat Georgia? Because I think those two teams, I don't want to say going to rule the SEC, but they're going to be very, very, very tough out year after year.
You're not scoring on Georgia right now.
No.
Right?
No.
I mean, again, they don't have to throw the football.
No,
it's unbelievable. I was watching that game. They beat Kentucky 30-13. We talked last week, Raphael, whether Iowa was a contender or not. Chip Patterson said no, he didn't get it as well. Well, Purdue comes into their house and beats them 24-7. So now the new number two team in the country, you would think, would be Cincinnati. They won 56-21. That's Luke Fickell's team. That's a team that plays pretty good defense. They get pick sixes in that game, and they score all kind of points. Again, I look at that style, though. It's very... I think he's going perfect to the Big 12, obviously, since he's going there. He may just stay there. There's no pressure. Right now, he's God. You can build a statue there if this guy continues to do that.
I'd be shocked if he leaves.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It just doesn't, to be honest with you. So that's the top three. Oklahoma, 52-31. They made the switch at quarterback. The fan base goes bananas when Caleb Williams becomes the starting quarterback. Now everyone's saying, Spencer Rattler, where is he going to transfer?
Transfer portal.
Exactly. Of those four teams right now, is Oklahoma in there?
No, I think they'll have a hiccup somewhere. I mean, the Oklahoma State, that could be their hiccup. I think eventually, I would not be shocked if either Michigan or Penn State jump in there.
By the way, Alabama, you knew, would play angry. 49-9 is the win over Mississippi State. Michigan State, Mel Tucker, getting the head coach there.
That's my biggest surprise.
20-15, they're 7-0. What are you hearing about him? Could he be a legit candidate here? It seems like they're going to give him a call for sure.
Yeah, he'll get phone calls for sure, especially USC are high on him as well. So I don't think he'll leave because I think he's building a nice brand over there. He just got that job. It's not like he's been the Michigan State head coach for years after years after years. I like what he's building. They're my biggest surprise, I think, right now in college football. I thought Big Ten was going to be a battle between Ohio State, Penn State, and then maybe Iowa and Michigan, but what he's doing for the green and white is very impressive, but he's going to get some phone calls. There's another one. I just don't see him. Why would you want to go leave a job that you're building right now to go to the SEC and have to deal with Alabama and Georgia and upcomings like Arkansas and all that? I just don't see it.
All right. So some of the other names on there that you're seeing, again, sports books wise, give me your top five again.
Ooh, my top five. Well, I mean, of course I had Lane Kiffin in the top five, Luke Finkel, Franklin, but like I said, I'd probably be the only book that will have Billy Napier on the favorite, just because I don't think the other books really know about the buyouts and the safe play. I mean, what's behind the closed doors.
$20 million is a huge. Jimbo Fisher is fourth in the one that I'm looking at plus 750.
Yeah, I have him at 8-1.
Yeah, I just don't know about that. Yeah. That's just me. The one I'm absolutely like, I don't get. Like the other
John
ones
Gruden?
I do. No, Bill O'Brien. Well, that one, yeah. Bill O'Brien. I understand he's in the Alabama rehabilitation program. I literally spent, and we don't cover the Texans. When we mention it, obviously, on Mondays after games and weekends and stuff. But how he handled the Texans, lack of communication, how he couldn't get the most out of Deshaun Watson, how he handled Trey. You want that guy?
Yeah.
That guy?
I think I have him at 15-1. I think some books have him at 8-1, 9-1.
I cannot even believe that name per Matt Moscona is being told. I can't even believe it.
Yeah.
That guy, you want to talk about lack of communicating ability. The people I know in Houston that cover that Texans team, sit down with them for 5 minutes and ask them about Bill O'Brien. And then in college,
Deshaun Watson. Never heard of him.
Exactly. Bob Stoops is another name out there. What are the odds of that?
I put Stoops family on mine because I don't know. Stoops there's so many Stoop coaches. So okay. I just put Stoops family, I think, at plus 950.
Another one that I just don't understand. And I get it to an extent because you're an LSU, because you're a fan, right? If you're an LSU fan. Joe Brady.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
You had to put him on the list.
Do you? Yes. But again, but here's the thing, though. I understand he was part of the greatest season. Go ask the people that covered this team. One of the things and why he bolted so quickly, A, he struck while the iron was hot, of course, but B, he prefers the NFL. He doesn't want to recruit.
No. Yeah.
Like, literally, go ask people on, you know, this family of networks here that do shows in Baton Rouge. That was literally his number one thing. He would just openly say it. He's like, I hate recruiting. What do you have to do in college?
Yeah, I was actually shocked that some books had 10-1. Yeah, I think I had him at 15. Yeah,
no, thank you.
Yeah,
no, thank you. Again,
because you can Google that he hates recruiting.
Yeah, no, thank you. Dave Aranda's doing some stuff at Baylor.
Yeah, that's an interesting hire. I mean,
get a defensive guy.
Yeah, he's a defensive guy.
Go hire an offensive-minded guy. I mean, that's me. Urban Meyer and Gruden tap out the list on this one.
Hey, Urban Meyer got a W. He ain't leaving now. Super Bowl next year.
I think they'd call Urban Meyer first before John Gruden.
Hey, he's undefeated in Europe.
Is Flores done? He's got to be done. That team looks like they don't
made fun of me when I put Flores at, I think, 5-1 to be the first head coach in Florida to be fired. I'm like, hey, if he loses to Jacksonville in Europe, he's in a hot seat. And what did he do? He lost to Jacksonville. He's in a hot seat.
Yeah, for sure. The play calling, just everything over there just doesn't look good. Flores is out, if you ask me, over at Miami. Quick break. We come back. More on the Sports Hangover. 800-998-1003 is the way to give us a buzz, or you can tweet at us. What do you think, Tiger fans, of the move the school did over the weekend to part ways with Ed Ogeron at the end of the season, but it's out, it's open, it's public, and it's official. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
All right, all right. I'm back. It's fall savings times at Barca Kia, which means you can save on our entire lineup of new Kias. These Kias are packed with value and technology. Best of all, these new Kias come with our famously low Barca Kia price. Take a look at the all-new Ultra Sporty 2022 Kia K5, a rebellious design built to rule the road with an 8-inch touchscreen and lane-keeping technology that all comes standard. Or drive home in a new 2022 Kia Sorento, the third-row 7-seat SUV that comes standard with family-favorite features like smartphone integration. And, of course, we have to mention the all-new Kia Carnival MPV, the SUV-inspired van as a radical departure from the usual. Now, that says it all. So come save during the fall savings time at Barker Kia and get our famously low Barker Kia price. And you know all these new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. That's Barker Kia in Homer or shop online at BarkerKia.com. Come see me, people.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
The Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Market's vendor partners, and thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. See if we hear from the intern here. Surely give us some top stories. Rafael, anything else in college football over the weekend staying out there?
It wasn't as crazy as I thought it was going to be. Georgia getting backdoor cover by Kentucky saved us some great cash in the books. I have to say the gut that I saw LSU play with Florida. I mean, granted it was a noon game or 11 a.m. I mean, that was just kind of weird to watch that type of an atmosphere SEC game that early in the day. But I think that one probably caught me. And anyway, I think we all knew Alabama was going to come out just PO'd and just...
What about this? And obviously, look, I mentioned it, you know, doing a pregame show with Arkansas. They started out so well, and you almost kind of get the sense and feeling of, did they sort of believe their own, you know...
Press clippings?
That, and also, are we not respecting Auburn enough? I feel like the last several weeks, everyone's like, oh, it's Auburn. Bo Nix stinks. He's terrible. Good, get bench. All they've done is go on the road at LSU and win, go to Arkansas and win, and he's playing... Like, they're throwing bombs away. Like, the guy is just playing well. It's crazy because I do get that sense and feeling no one's really touching on him. And Rafael makes me think, last game of the year at Auburn, Alabama.
I think Oklahoma State beating Texas at Texas was a very impressive win.
I'm glad you brought that up because, again, is that just area just sort of I feel like it literally is the land of potential, or it's always like there's so many people in college football or even there that want to say Texas is back. They blew the lead against Oklahoma and then they lose this week.
Yeah. I mean, they were up what 10-3, I think, in the first quarter. I'm thinking, okay, maybe they got the Oklahoma loss behind them. They're going to play ball and then they get outworked in the second quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, I think what they did scored a big goose egg and the Cowboys put up 16. If you're the SEC, please, Texas, come on down. I just don't understand why the fan base keeps on screaming SEC, SEC, when they should be screaming Sun Belt, Sun Belt, Sun Belt, because maybe they'll look better. No disrespect to the Sun Belt.
Wow. One of the other things that I think stood out to me in the weekend of college football, too, was one of the game, I can't think of the name of it here. It just popped off the top of my head. Jeez and Pete's. The Tennessee Ole Miss fiasco with the SEC and everything that happened. And I'm surprised. I'm anxious.
I'm surprised how many people got arrested.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about, is that you did see some people get arrested, went back, looked at the video, and got
some old guy getting arrested.
But, dude, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, like, in terms of, they still had a shot, and quite honestly, I have no idea what that quarterback was doing. I mean, you have to throw the ball in the end zone. You have no time. You're trying to scramble. He goes out of bounds with no time on the clock. It was just so bizarre to see. But at the same time, Rafael, the thing that really stood out to me in that game that you look at is, you wonder if a situation like that, like, are you revoking the liquor license for Tennessee, you know, and punish him that way in the pocketbook or something of that nature? It was nuts to sort of look at that, because that was a good game to that point, right? I mean, Tennessee really played well. You know, Ole Miss, that was probably one of the worst Matt Corral games ever, but they're kind of finding a way to make the big plays when they needed it. I mean, I thought it was exciting.
Yeah, 18 people arrested, 47 ejected. It was just weird.
It was very weird. All right, to the NFL, sir. I have to say, the game of the week that just surprised a lot of people, and that had to be the Chargers and Ravens.
Yes.
Did you? Because, again, a lot of people kind of thought the Ravens, hey, you're 2-2, essentially. It could be 2-2. A lot of people thought that, if not even, you know, just one win. But they wound up finding a way to win. And that's why I would say, look, if you find a way to win, you're a good football team. But when you look at that game yesterday, were you surprised at how the defense just showed up and absolutely showed the Chargers was up?
I'm actually shocked at how bad the Chargers defense was, because Baltimore was just running. Not just Jackson just throwing all over, and they were just running. I think they almost had 200 yards of rushing in that game. So I think that was just more impressive. But I have to give the bettors again. I know there's a lot of bettors out there now that you can do mostly DraftKings and stuff like that here, but hats off, because the bettors won yesterday. The books took a little bit of a beating, but that game had to be impressive. And I would have to say the Cardinals and Browns, even though there were some injuries involved with Cleveland and all that. But when are we going to give some respect to West Coast love to Arizona? No.
Yeah, I do feel, again, and, you know, NFL get up, as you like to call them. I mean, it was essentially they're planning the parade in downtown Dallas-Fort Worth for the Dallas Cowboys. They literally called them a Super Bowl team this year.
My brother's planning it.
There, it's done. Dak Prescott's the MVP. It's over. Greatest coach ever, Mike McCarthy, and all that. To your point, though, you don't see sort of that love for the Cardinals, and all they keep doing is looking really impressive.
Yeah. I mean, I know they beat up a banged-up Cleveland team, but they still went on the road. And you're normally Murray doesn't play well on turf or on grass, and the whole offense played really, really well yesterday. Again, give some respect to the Cardinals. They're my Super Bowl favorite? No, but I got to give them some love now.
You brought it up, and it's something that I want to bring up here. I heard the guys open up again at 9 o'clock this morning. Greenberg dropped the kid off, have it on. And Greeny said one of the questions they were throwing out there, Rafael, was this. Better chance to make the playoffs right now. If you had to say who, Cleveland or Cincinnati? I don't think it's I think Cincinnati looks like the better team.
Oh, yeah.
They should have beaten the Packers. And look, Burrow made a mistake or two in that Bears game. But you look at Cleveland right now. I mean, the big talk is not only Baker Mayfield getting an MRI separated, again, his left shoulder. The news came out with the running back. My gosh.
Chubb?
No.
Oh, a Hunt?
Yes. He's out several weeks with a calf injury. So that's really going to hurt. I mean, everyone screaming is out there saying the Packers need a trade for Odell Beckham Jr. and he'll go to the Super Bowl. So that's not a good thing if you're Cleveland right now.
No. Yeah, Cincinnati's got, I mean, Cleveland, I mean, Pittsburgh, I mean, granted they won yesterday, but really, you needed overtime to beat Geno, so I'm not sold on Steelers. But yeah, the Bengals can be easily up there battling with the Ravens. I mean, I know the Ravens are 5-1, and they're probably the better shiny toy right now, just the way Lamar Jackson's playing, probably my top two MVP candidate. But yeah, gotta give the Bengals some love as well.
I do want to ask you, is that not one of the greatest moments ever when Aaron Rodgers scores?
Oh, I loved it.
And tells everybody in Chicago, I own you.
Which is true. He's not lying. The Packers are 18-5 against the spread in the city of Chicago. 18-5.
I just think it's refreshing. He really gives zero Fs this year.
Yeah.
He really honestly does. I want an odd on this when we come back as well, right? You know what this is?
Hell yeah, I want to still play football. I still get that urge to, you know, go out and perform and do something that I've been doing since I was 7 years old. Man, I'm just waiting on the right opportunity. You probably asking yourself, don't nobody want Cam. That's a lie. I've been getting offers. But the realization of it is, it has to be right.
He announced on his YouTube channel that he did get vaccinated. Now he's ready to play some football. 10 seconds. Somebody pick him up.
Well, maybe not Cleveland. We don't know how bad Baker's arm or shoulder is. So I think someone will continue to call. I don't know if he does play, but it's interesting. Did he take Kyrie to get his vaccination shot too?
Not yet.
No.
Hour one in the books. Hour two still ahead. If you'd like to chime into the conversation, it's 800-998-1003. We'll be back with Glenn Gilbo. Covers the SEC now for Outkick. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Just don't let me down. I'm begging you. Just don't let me down. I'm begging you.
It's a big win for Slidell. A big win for the whole North Shore. And it's called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. This $325 million project will have a positive impact on our community. It's a fact. In cities with resorts like this one, jobs go up, home values rise, and the economy booms. And think about this. All the money that goes to Mississippi casinos now will stay right here and turn into millions for us. Winner! Millions to fix flooding. Millions to build a new sports complex for East St. Tammany. And millions for our roads, our schools, our safety. See what we've got planned for Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Get more details and find answers to all your questions at thenorthshorewinds.com. Vote yes, and the North Shore wins. Vote yes, and we all win. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, changing your oil. We've got what you need. Regular changes are the best way to keep your engine running smooth. We'll help you find the right oil for your make and model and everything to help you finish the job right, like drain pans, filters, and funnels. And we've got more ways to get it all fast, like our next day delivery and our free same day pickup, in-store or curbside. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Get Macy's lowest prices of the season on furniture, mattresses, and rugs specials. Kick back on a Lily fabric sofa for $579. Sit down to the new Aberdeen 5-piece dining set, now $1,049. And stretch out on the Canyon Queen bed, just $339. Plus, get 50 to 60% off select Simmons and Sealy mattresses. Going on now at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hour number two, Gus Kattengill, GCAT underscore 17 at ESI.sports. The way to follow Rafael Esparza in studio today, hanging out, talk a little NFL and college football. Of course, we've been playing last evening's impromptu, I guess, presser to announce the, how's it called, the mutual parting of ways?
Mutual parting of ways.
Between Ed Orgeron and LSU. He was asked yesterday about if this is going to sort of help moving forward.
Yeah, the weight was lifted off of me because I felt like we were going to win. I mean, that was yesterday. You know, I didn't know everything's going to be finalized. You know, but now, you know, that doesn't matter. That's not the way I'm going to coach. That's not the way I'm going to be. I'm going to be the same guy I was today, and be the same guy tomorrow with this football team until my last day here at LSU.
Time now to bring you Mr. Glenn Gilbo at LSU Beat Tweets. The way to follow him over on Twitter, he's now an SEC columnist over at Outkick.com. Glenn, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good. Good afternoon.
So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you of this decision, much less the timing of the decision?
Well, I wasn't surprised with the decision, but very surprised with the timing. And, in fact, I noticed an inconsistency in LSU's story, quote-unquote, and you just had the quote that illustrates soundbite you had that he didn't know all this was going to be finalized today. Yet earlier in the press conference, he said he knew it was over when he talked to Woodward after the Kentucky game. So, you know, this has happened before. LSU people, they can't get their story straight half the time. So it's just a mess at LSU. I mean, they can't do anything normally. You know, you think they'd know how to fire a coach and hire a new one because they've done it so much. But everyone is just a crazy trip down intrigue and mystery. And it's just a mess at LSU. It really is.
Do you think part of what they're going to be battling here as well, Glenn, is perception a lot of times? In that I've seen a lot of national folks look at this and say, the last two head coaches at LSU have won national championships, and both of them have been fired. Now, look, you and I know there's a lot of different stories and reasons to go behind that. But nationally, when you go around and you talk to people, how do they view the LSU situation and the job?
Well, I think LSU gets laughed at quite a bit. But, you know, I think also it means that it's a great program if two coaches who get fired not long after winning it all, you know, won it all. So they must not be that great. So what it says maybe is that you don't have to be that great of a coach to win a national championship at LSU. Although, you know, there's a lot of coaches who've won national championships and it doesn't end well. You know, like Mack Brown is an example. Coach O, though, it was really quick. And Les was really good for several years after his national championship and reached another national championship game. But the thing to remember is Les and Ed were not hugely hot items when they became LSU coaches, and they each won the national championship. So what I think it's still a very attractive job to candidates mm-hmm. because they can say, hey, I can go down there and win one. If Les and Ed won one, or really what they're saying is with the resources and recruiting base you have there.
That is true. Les and Ed won one. If they can, I can as well, too. Glenn Gilbo, SEC columnist now for Outkick. I think one of the things, Glenn, that I also brought up earlier in hour number one, how much is the mess and situation legally that LSU's embroiled in with Title IX, sexual assault cases and things of that nature, hiring and all that, how much do you think that's going to play into a coach willingly leaving a situation where he's probably going to be loved and probably offered more money to stay? You know what I'm talking about? So how much do you think that's a factor for the potential candidates?
I think it could be a factor. And there's two NCAA investigations still going on, one that includes football. But I think it could definitely be a factor. And I think it was a factor in Coach Orgeron's early dismissal. I think, he's been at LSU since 2015. As an assistant. So he was there when all these things were happening with Les Miles, all these accusations around the Title IX lawsuit. So perhaps LSU's powers that be wanted him, out of the picture there. And someone told me, who I asked an LSU insider, why would you not even look into firing Ed with cause because of his off-field issues with Geist, with Davis, with Title IX? And he said, well, LSU is in a position where they want to keep Coach Orgeron happy. Okay? They don't want Coach Orgeron spilling his guts to NCAA people or to legal people. Okay? So, I kind of always thought, man, LSU has a lot of ammunition to possibly fire Ed with cause and get that buyout down. But Ed might have some ammunition against LSU. So that might be part of the reason why he gets $17 million, which I don't think he deserves.
Glenn, you literally, when you were saying that, I remember having a conversation yesterday when all this was coming out with some family members, and I was at a birthday party, and I was like, man, he's got something. Well, he got something, he knows something, right? Because, I mean, he is that guy that if it, he was going to do whatever it takes to make sure that LSU was going to be looked upon favorably as the head coach, and that's a guy that keeps his mouth shut. But now that you're getting rid of him, And I almost wonder if it was tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, it was sort of a nudge to the man that was sitting to his left when he goes, well, I definitely have enough money now to buy a hamburger. You know, in other words, like, you're paying me off. And I do not think that was not done on purpose.
Yeah, and I mean, Ed's the ultimate hamburglar, if you will. I mean, this guy, he's getting $17 million, and yep. he's 9-8 in his last 17 games, and he's getting $17 million. And, you know, I think, I mean, and this is a very plausible scenario. I mean, if you're at LSU, you're an employee in the middle of everything, a high-ranking employee like Ed Orgeron has been, you're going to know a lot about LSU. And they're going to know a lot about you. So that's why they came to a settlement. And the way it was explained to me was, you know, LSU's kind of cutting its losses because of this Title IX lawsuit and these other lawsuits that got active. So now, you know, Ed is kind of out of the picture as far as a witness or his knowledge in those situations. But remember this. Don't ever let anyone from LSU say they're having money problems, okay? Whenever they need the money, they find the money. And they're going to find $17 million, and they're going to find a lot of money to hire a new coach.
Speak with Glenn Gilbo, who's an SEC columnist now for Outkick. Sir, I want to kind of touch on the next 4 minutes of the segment on some of the other stories in the SEC. So let's kind of do this rapid fire here. First and foremost, man, the end of that Ole Miss-Tennessee game, it was such a fun game to watch, and then that happened there at the end. Even the last play was exciting. What are you hearing from the league and Greg Sankey as to maybe what they're going to do to Tennessee?
You know, Sankey needs to do something. You know, Greg, he's not really been a strong commissioner, I don't feel like. I mean, I think he's been a good commissioner, and he's smart, but he has to come down hard with some decisions like his predecessor, Mike Clive did. You know, he didn't do anything with the Texas A&M LSU debacle when they had that fight with Steve Kragthorpe and Damian Craig a few years ago. He just basically ignored it, and then he did very little with some other fights that same season. I think he needs to do something strong here. I'm not sure what that would be, but you know, I think they might need to ban students for like a game or two. Mm. Just to change behavior or to make them think, they can't just do anything. And you know, I don't even know if it was all students. And it was terrible. And the Tennessee coach, he gets up there after the game and says, just a few fans. Let me tell you something. It was more than a few fans. I watched that live. You had a relay from the upper deck throwing stuff to the lower deck. The lower deck throwing it onto the field like they practiced or something. I mean, there were hundreds. At least there were several hundred throwing stuff if you just look on the field. So there needs to be some type of punishment there, and they need better security. Make sure people don't bring golf balls.
Mustard.
And then he's walking off the field, and right before he goes in the tunnel, he dodges another thing right there. Look, you can dislike and boo and do the chants or, you know, use whatever language you want, man. And even to that, I think there's a limit and a level. But you just can't throw stuff at people like that, man. That is dangerous, honestly. That pops you in the eye or something like that, it actually can hurt, even though it's a bottled water for sure. Glenn, when you take a look at Georgia and Kentucky, my goodness, I'm watching that game, and I'm just like, how do you score on Georgia? I went through, and I was telling Raphael earlier, the stats of the Saints defensive linemen, like Peyton Turner, Marcus Davenport, Cam Jordan. They're smaller than those guys that are on the Georgia defensive line. That is an unbelievable defensive line.
Yeah, Georgia looks like it's going to handle Alabama, too. I mean, I thought Kentucky played well, and they weren't even in the game.
Right,
I mean, they were playing as well as they could play, you know, and they're a pretty good team. They might be the second or third best team in the SEC, but Georgia just looks heads and shoulders above everybody else. And you know, who knows what will happen by the time they play the SEC title game there? Nick will figure something out, but I just Georgia looks like a national champion to me right now.
And then I guess finally in that game, we did see it. I think Ole Miss, right, you've seen them put up 50 points. You've seen them kind of win a muddied up game over at Tennessee. They got LSU this weekend. Where do you sort of view Ole Miss right now?
Ole Miss is a very good team. I mean, they're not in Georgia's class, but they're a right. very good team. Lane Kiffin is, I just feel like he's maturing as a coach. Still funny and capable of some crazy stuff, but he's more mature now. And he's got a more complete team than he's had. You know, it's not just some crazy offense. I mean, they won that game with defense. He mentioned that after the game. So they're getting to be a complete team. He's as good a play caller as Sean Payton is or will be. I think he's a future NFL coach. I think he would be a great hire for LSU. He would also be the first ever real offensive coordinator LSU ever hired as head coach. I think LSU's going to play him pretty well. I mean, they beat Florida with craziness going on and the coach knowing he wasn't coming back. So, you know, Coach O is a very good lame duck coach or interim coach. I mean, he came as an interim. He's an interim at USC, and he's leaving as an interim. And his record as an interim coach. His record as an interim coach is probably the best in college football history among the interim coaches.
There he is. I guess if you got to be known for something, you're the interim of all the interims, and you won a national championship.
The interim Hall of Fame. They should have an interim Hall of Fame, and it just kind of moves around the country.
Glenn, as always, appreciate the time, sir. Love talking a little SEC with you. SEC columnist over at Outkick.com. Go check it out at LSUB tweet, Twitter handle, Mr. Glenn Gibbo. Thank you, man.
Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Yeah, for sure. Quick break. When we come back, Raphael, we got a final segment for you, right? I think you're here to the bottom of the hour. Do you want to touch on some of the NFL games? How about your New Orleans Saints? What are you buying when it comes to them? Especially, Rod Walker put out an interesting stat over the last several years. The first four games out of a bye. Pretty good for your black and gold. Just letting you know.
What about no love for the Chicago Sky? WNBA Finals champion yesterday. Karinas Parker goes back home and wins the ship. Sold out arena.
It was a nice crowd.
No love. No love here for the WNBA.
Hour two next on ESPN New Orleans.
Yellow and green, stick around and you'll see what I mean.